clock strikes here, it's always Halloween. And I'm always your haunted host, Luce Tomlin Brenner. Welcome to Small Frights Friday. On these very special episodes, I like to share a curated selection of calls from our All Hallows hotline and letters from our mailbag. If you would like to submit a contribution of your own, be it Halloween memories, recommendations, or queries, please call in to 802-532-DEAD. Or you can write to us at itsalwayshalloweenpodcast@gmail.com. You can also find us on Instagram at itsalwayshalloweenpodcast. And don't forget Patreon, patreon.com/itsalwayshalloween, where we celebrate our favorite holiday off the air every single day. And the Patreon Ghoul Gang is the reason you can hear us right now. Every member who contributes to Patreon helps Pete and I continue to make this podcast. They are our true producers. So thank you to the Patreon Ghoul Gang and to our newest members. Welcome, Sarah, Jessica, Cammie, and Christy. I am so happy to have you here. Thank you for helping us get this show going and for helping us get through these couple of months where we're slowing down a little bit and planning for the future. Oh, lovely lanterns. I'm trying to slow down, but it is hard. You know, I have some exciting news to share with you. During this time, I have also been working on finishing my film, my horror comedy Surprise. And guess what? Today, as of this recording, moments ago, it's done. Started writing this film in 2020 in the pandemic before I started It's Always Halloween. And I worked on pre-production from the fall of 2020, around the time I started the podcast, through the spring of 2021. Then we filmed in the summer of 2021. For the last year and a half, I have been working on every aspect of post-production, editing, sound design, licensing music. I negotiated music rights for the first time in my career. That was very exciting. I got the poster design going. I got merch. I have the premiere party set up for March 8th here in LA. It's been a wild time, and I'm so excited to share it with you guys. So if you want to see this film, please reach out, and I will be happy to share a private screener with you as soon as it's available. I won't be posting it publicly until our festival run wraps up, which should be in about a year. I look forward to getting to go to film festivals again. It was one of my favorite things to do with my work in the pre-pandemic time. So maybe a festival will bring me to your city and we can connect IRL. Wouldn't that be a treat? So that's what has been going on with me. What's going on with you? Have you done any spooky, scary things this year? I have a glorious glut of stories to share with you today from your fellow lanterns. We have trick-or-treat memories. We have Baba Yaga stories. We have Mardi Gras stories. All that and more. So stay tuned. Before we hop into those, I just want to let you know what is coming up on the Patreon in the next couple of days. We've only got a few more days of February left, but we're going to cram some fun into it. So this Saturday, February 25th, I'm hosting a double feature of Blackula with Scream, Blackula Scream, starring Pam Grier, one of my favorite actresses. These are really fun and important films, so I hope you can join me for that. It starts at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and we will be going until 7:30, 8 o'clock. Saturday night, no holds barred. I'm going to kick everything off with our pre-roll show of specially curated blaxploitation-themed videos. Then I'll hop into my historic presentation, and then we're just going to laugh and scream and chat the rest of the evening while we watch the film virtually with lanterns all over the world. So if you want to get in on that, check out patreon.com/itsalwayshalloween. Sign up for our movie party level. It's $10 a month. With that comes our book club, our Discord, our blog, Kitchen Witch recipes, and so much more. Speaking of book club, we meet this Tuesday, the very last Tuesday of the month, February 28th, to discuss My Sister the Serial Killer. Really fun horror comedy book that came out in 2018. Not quite done with it yet, but I've been laughing. I've been shrieking. I think that this is a book that all of you out there on the porch will enjoy. So even if you can't join us to discuss it, go read it on your own. Let me know what you think. This is a great year-round Halloween read. But if you do want to join up with some like-minded lanterns, come join us on Tuesday night. It's over Zoom. You don't have to talk. You don't even have to have read the book. You could just have read a chapter. You could have just looked at the really cool cover art. If you just want a little bit of company, then come hang out with us 6 p.m. February 28th over Zoom, and you can get book club for $6 a month. Oh my gosh, what else can you get for $6 a month? Shudder, maybe. But the whole Ghoul Gang can't come over and watch Shudder with you. Here we get to all hang out together. So if you are missing It's Always Halloween while we take some time to plan for the future, then come to Patreon where we do a little bit more every single month. And here's the thing. It may not be a one-to-one, like you get everything you want for $6, but what your $6 a month or $10 a month or $13 a month helps us do is helps me sit down and work 10 to 20 hours a week, sometimes up to 40 hours a week, making this podcast, developing the community, trying to plan for possible tours and live events. And it just says, hey, thanks for making this podcast. I see you and I appreciate what you do. So here's my little PBS pitch. We have such an incredible collection of lanterns all over the world. If everyone just signed up at that $1 a month level, which if you sign up annually, you can get for $10 a year. If every single listener did that, oh my God, I would actually make a living wage from this podcast. Right now I make about $5 an hour. I just say this to be transparent with you guys. Whew, I know times are tough. I know you guys are feeling it too. Just wanted to put it out there and let you guys know where I'm at. I feel like a little bit of a silly Billy now for overlooking all those pennies and nickels that I got in my jack-o'-lantern back in the day. I would love to go door-to-door for pennies right now. Fill up that UNICEF box and then just keep it. No, that's bad. That's bad form. You gotta tape up that box and send it into UNICEF. It's the right thing to do. We have not talked about that UNICEF box on this podcast. Did anyone else do this? There was at least one Halloween that I did it. Could have been more, but I have this very tactile memory of holding a UNICEF box filled with pennies and taped on all sides because it was just a flimsy cardboard box weighted down by hundreds of pennies. So it would open up just totally wrapped in tape, and it was orange and black and white. The classic Halloween palette. And I remember I would get it from church. I was raised congregational in Ohio, and it was very like community oriented, give back, help others. Pretty good church as far as churches go, I think. And we would get those at Halloween, and I remember at least taking it around 1 year, and then you're supposed to bring it back to church. You know, I hope that my box of $2 to $4 went to somebody in need. If you would like to send me a box full of pennies worth $2 to $4, my P.O. box number is... I keep thinking I'm going to get a P.O. box, and I haven't yet, so that's not a good story. All right, guys, let's jump into the letters. I think it's time. I am recording this on Fat Tuesday, and I am delighted to share that I have the perfect eek mail to kick off this holiday to kick off Fat Tuesday. Bat Tuesday? Is that how we make it Halloween-y? Bat Tuesday? Okay. The subject line of this eek mail is a Mardi Gras homage to Halloween. Hi, Luce. I recently stumbled upon It's Always Halloween podcast, and I am thoroughly enjoying it. I'm not completely caught up on all the episodes yet, but I have been listening on my daily commute and during work breaks. I have always loved Halloween, and I didn't realize that there was such a large community celebrating all year round. Ah, there is, and we are here for you. Welcome to our porch. Okay, they continue. This year, I was able to travel back home for my other favorite holiday season, Mardi Gras. Many people may not be aware, but Mardi Gras in the United States did not start in New Orleans. Rather, in my hometown, a few hours to the east, in Mobile, Alabama. Each year, for 3 weeks, anywhere from late January to early March, there are daily parades leading up to Fat Tuesday to celebrate the Mardi Gras season. Every year, the individual parading organizations choose a theme to craft floats, throws, and decorate for the masquerade ball that follows. For two of my favorite parades this year, the themes were horror and monster related, some of which have been featured on the podcast. I recently listened to the Sleepy Hollow and Universal Monster episodes, which are two of my favorites to date. I've attached some pictures from the parades this year that I believe you and the other lanterns would enjoy. I couldn't take pictures of all the floats. I had to avoid getting smacked by the beads. Ouch! Here are the ones I managed to snap. The Headless Horseman from Sleepy Hollow, Jaws, The Creature from the Black Lagoon, Nightmare on Elm Street, and The Wicked Witch of the West. I couldn't imagine a better mashup for me. Halloween and Mardi Gras. Thanks for all the work you put into the podcast, David.
I would say it's Cassandra. I'm a member of the Ghoul Gang, and I've been listening since early 2020. I just want to talk about our last Halloween that just passed, Halloween 2022, for a Small Fights episode. And I just wanted to say that it was such a good Halloween. I finally took my daughter Autumn out trick-or-treating. She's 4 years old this year, so it's like her first year of a true trick-or-treat experience. That's not just like a few houses down our street. And we're in a, not a newer neighborhood, but newer to us because we just moved in 2020. And because of the pandemic and how young she was, it was really her first year. And I didn't realize how good my new neighborhood was for trick-or-treating. Halloween night was just so perfect. There were so many houses that were completely decked out and had tons of like the huge 12-foot skeletons and really crazy displays and zombies, and the streets were just packed. It was like rainy and foggy, and the streets were packed with so many kids, and there were so many good displays, and my daughter Autumn was just such a champ. We trick-or-treated for almost 2 hours, and it really was like nostalgic. It reminded me of like 90s Halloweens when I was trick-or-treating, and it just brought like such Halloween joy to my heart. So I just wanted to share that, and I hope everyone else had an amazing Halloween too. Bye.
Aw, Cassandra, I am so delighted to hear that Autumn finally got to go out and trick-or-treat and that it was such an incredible experience. I love the way that you described your time out with her. You know, I had a really wonderful Halloween weekend in 2022. It really did feel like it was finally a return to form. Finally felt safer kind of doing a lot out in the world. And it was fun to kind of reclaim Halloween after those two more difficult years. That being said, it was still like 70 to 80 degrees in LA. So just hearing about the rain and the fog that you experienced, you painted a beautiful picture. Thank you for sharing this special memory with us. And thank you for helping support the podcast as a Ghoul Gang member. It's wonderful to have you. Okay, the subject line of this next eek mail really gave me a laugh. The BBYGs of TTRPGs. This will all become clear to you in a moment. Hello, Luce, and privet to all the lanterns on the other side of the Iron Curtain. When I see mention of Baba Yaga, BBYGs, there are a lot of images that come to mind. But instead of folktales or comics or even movies, most of what I think of are the characters' appearances in role-playing games. Whether or not they are actually in Russia, there is no mistaking a snaggle-toothed witch in a chicken-legged house. She's in Dungeons & Dragons, lurking in the mists of the Ravenloft, the game's fantasy horror setting, helping or hindering adventurers that come to visit. Her hut and her mortar and pestle are given statistics in the older guidebooks about magical artifacts. She's used in the aptly named Rifts World Book 18, Mystic Russia, as a template for characters in the magical or apocalyptic setting to follow in her footsteps as night witches, which is an interesting choice of words since that's also a famous group of Russian aviatrixes that fought in World War II. Okay, obsessed with that historical detail. Thank you. She is in Vampire the Masquerade as an ancient member of the Nosferatu vampire clan. In the World of Darkness setting, she was the puppet master of all Russian supernatural beings and maintained a, quote, shadow curtain along the country's borders. Her final appearance in that setting was the book Knights of Prophecy, where a playable chronicle named, quote, To Grandmother's House lets your character escort a supernatural little girl calling herself Vasilisa across Russia to the lair of Baba Yaga herself. Not sure if I said that name correctly, feeling self-conscious about it. Moving on. The only time I've been lucky enough to encounter her at my game table was when I ran a session of the Pulp Hero RPG, Spirit of the Century. One of the characters was a Russian sorceress who may or may not have been smuggled out of St. Petersburg in the same carriage as Princess Anastasia. During the big climactic battle against an army of fishermen, she attempted to call forth Russia's greatest war hero, General Winter, and rolled so well that she summoned the general, the table he was sitting at, and the person who was pouring his tea, Baba Yaga herself. The sorceress immediately began apologizing, and Baba, impressed by her manners, quickly went about defeating the army. The shuffling mother grabbed each monster in turn and effortlessly threw them into the air, where they transformed into herrings and fell into her boiling cauldron of stew. Everyone was delighted and terrified. I'm eager to hear older and more authentic stories that have more to do with rolling bones than rolling dice. Thanks again for the podcast, Tom. Oh my gosh, Tom. That's Tom the Grim Turn, who's been helping us archive every episode of the podcast. Thank you for all the work that you do, Tom. And this is so fascinating. Thank you for writing in with such knowledgeable depth about role-playing games. This is an area of which I know next to nothing, and I have only gleaned some things from my comedy friends who play Dungeons & Dragons and, of course, Stranger Things. And I just am impressed with how many fascinating games there are out there and the ways in which they take our mythology, folklore, legends, and they roll them all together into a new way to tell history and explore stories and have a good time. This is fantastic, Tom. I love learning about areas of which I am not very educated, and if there's anybody out there who has seen Baba Yaga in video games or other types of gaming, I'm truly at a loss in that area. It's really cool to hear about how Halloween has infiltrated those types of activities as well. It's everywhere. So what's that? Oh, that's the All Hallows Hotline ringing off the hook again. Folks, the trick-or-treat bag is truly overflowing with this call. This is a very entertaining contribution from a new listener, and I think you're going to get a kick out of it.
Hi, Luce. My name's Ryan Estrada, and I'm very happy to find your podcast, because celebrating Halloween all year round sounds great to me, because I can't celebrate it on October 31st. You see, 10 years ago, that was the day I accidentally got married. That sounds like something that would be hard to do, but you know how usually you sign a marriage license and then you have a wedding? Well, I was getting married in Korea, and that happens in the opposite order. But I didn't know that because the document I signed was all in Korean. And then the next day, on October 31st, I got a text message telling me that my marriage was official. Oops, now it's my anniversary, and it'd be a little awkward spending it dressed as a werewolf. And that's hard because I've loved Halloween since I was 2 years old. That's when my mom entered me in a costume contest at the mall, judged by local Michigan horror host Count Scary, and I won first place. Now, to be fair, she did dress me as local horror host Count Scary, so that may have had something to do with the win. But all I knew is I loved Halloween, and I wished it would last forever. But it was actually 30 years ago that my relationship to Halloween first changed. I was 12 years old, and I realized something was wrong. My whole life, my Aunt Linda had called me up in the summer to ask what I wanted to be so she could spend 6 months crafting an elaborate costume. There was a Smurf costume that left blue paint all over the neighborhood. There was the Oscar the Grouch with a trash can attached with suspenders I could pop in and out of. The Roger Rabbit that rivaled the one at the theme park. But this year, it was already October 31st, and I had not even been consulted. And I'm like, Aunt Linda's really dropping the ball this year. Finally, my mother broke the terrible news. She said, Ryan, you're in middle school now. You're too old to go trick-or-treating. And I'm like, what? Excuse me? Oh, no. Oh, no. I will not stand for this ageism and injustice. I'm going to keep Halloween going. So I decided I was going to make a costume even better than Aunt Linda's. I was at a bit of a disadvantage when it came to time. I did only have an hour to do it. But my aunt only made kid costumes. I could be scary. If 12 was too young to trick-or-treat, I'd prove how PG-13 I could be. I doused my shirt in ketchup. I ran my pants under a tire. I spray-painted a head wound onto an old Captain Planet mask. I made bullet holes, stab wounds, a dog bite. I decided I was going to go as an accident victim and simulate every accident I could think of. But it seemed like there was still something missing. Fire. So I grabbed an old dry flannel shirt my dead grandfather left behind for a few decades, a cup of water, and a lighter. And the plan was just this. I'd singed the sleeve a little bit, then doused out with the water. Foolproof. Of course, safety was of the utmost importance. Let's just say, long story short, I found myself engulfed in flames, running around the yard, and not too long after, I was in the emergency room. Left shoulder was sizzling and bubbling like fried chicken. My hair was melted into one big clump. The doctor's talking about skin grafts, and I'm like, tick-tock, doc, I got to get trick-or-treating. And I did. I went. I made it 10 feet from my house, and it was a combination of the intense pain, the medication, and the fumes from the freshly spray-painted rubber mask that made me faint on my neighbor's front porch, and I woke up 26 hours later in my own bed with my mom taking care of me. I never did go trick-or-treating again, but I really nailed the accident victim costume. And even if Halloween was never the same, and even if I can't even celebrate it anymore because it's my anniversary, that costume did indeed last forever. Because, thanks to the third-degree burn scars, I'm still wearing it. Thanks.
Holy cats, Ryan. That is, without a doubt, one of the wildest, if not the wildest, story we have ever gotten here at It's Always Halloween. I was truly not prepared for where that story went. And I gotta say, you really know how to make someone laugh through a tragedy. And I love it when we can find the humor through the pain. There's actually a really great comedy show here in LA called It's Funny Now. And you should come perform at it. Do you ever perform live? Because that was a really great story and I want you to tell it on stage. My favorite was the TikTok doc, gotta go trick-or-treating. I'm just obsessed with your 12-year-old diligence of like, nothing's gonna hold me back. I gotta go trick-or-treating. It's so relatable. I feel like as a kid and even now, like nothing can stop me from Halloween. I think I've mentioned this before, but my biggest reoccurring nightmare that I had as a child all year round, not just on Halloween, was that I didn't have a costume on October 31st. In my dream, regardless of what the calendar said, you know, as per usual, doesn't matter what hour your clock strikes, I'm always having a nightmare that I'm underdressed for Halloween. So my dream, it would always be October 31st, an hour to go, and there's no costume anywhere. And I spend my whole dream racing around trying to put a costume together. But not even in my wildest dreams did I ever douse myself in flames. Oh, my goodness, Ryan. I'm so sorry that happened to you, but I do love your sense of humor about it. And I'm glad that you had the other part that like absolutely slayed me is when you said you had a successful accident victim costume. Really great stuff. Other details I just want to touch on. I'm obsessed with Count Scary. What a great mascot. Hello from Ohio. I've never heard of Count Scary before, but I love that Michigan had such a fun horror host. And I love that your Aunt Linda made you such cute and memorable Halloween costumes. If you have any pictures, please send them in. I'd love to put them on the Instagram and perhaps have them for our second issue of The Lantern's Way this year. Be pretty cute in the zine. And my mom is also named Linda, and she handmade almost all of my costumes. I think this story is a perfect example of my strongly held belief that you should be able to trick-or-treat at any age. If we were just encouraging all young people to keep going and helping them make costumes, then perhaps they wouldn't turn to fire. Thanks again, Ryan. You really made my night with this story. Welcome to the podcast. Please celebrate with us year-round. We don't believe in limiting Halloween to October 31st. And the people that do, I mean, they probably think that you should stop trick-or-treating at 12, too. Come be free. Be a lantern. Celebrate Halloween always. And this next eek mail touches on a way to truly celebrate Halloween all year round. The subject line is Halloween videos. Hello, Luce. I've been listening to your podcast for about 6 months now, and I haven't gotten through all the episodes yet, so I don't know if someone has already mentioned this. They have not. Thank you for asking. So, heads up, everyone, new information coming your way. I'm in Georgetown, Ontario, Canada, and I thought I would let you know of a great old Halloween cartoon from 1978 called Witch's Night Out. It was produced in Toronto and stars the incomparable Gilda Radner as the witch. You might remember her from early SNL episodes. And Catherine O'Hara as Malicious. You probably know her from Schitt's Creek. And this is Luce here adding, you guys probably know her from Beetlejuice as Delia Dietz. I'm in my early 50s, and I still get a kick out of watching those old Halloween specials. They're hard to find on video, but thankfully this one is on YouTube. There are a few that I love, but this one stands out in my mind for its slightly adult take on the holiday. The witch's attitude is hilarious. Enjoy, Chris. Chris, a phenomenal recommendation. I've never seen this before, and I just adore these two women. Very inspiring to little me, who dreamed of being a comedian. So it's very fun to go back and see something of theirs that I didn't know existed. So I'll throw the link in the show notes so people can watch this fun little video and get a perfect dose of Halloween comedy in February. And we have one more little Halloween note here. I got an email with no subject line, and it just said, my favorite Halloween movies are either The Nightmare Before Christmas or Hocus Pocus. Jack. Why, Jack, thank you so much. I am sort of imagining that Jack Skellington wrote this in. But I love to know you guys' favorite Halloween movies. So thank you for this sweet note. I would love to hear everyone out there in Lantern Land what your favorite Halloween movies, memories, and general spooky recommendations are. Just give us a call at 802-532-DEAD or drop us that email at itsalwayshalloweenpodcast@gmail.com. You could be featured on an upcoming Small Frights episode. If you've already written or called in and you haven't heard your contribution yet, most likely it's in the hopper for a future episode. Every now and then I skip one, but those are usually pretty rude or very poorly recorded. So I try to reach out to the people who don't send in good recordings accidentally, of course. It's hard to leave a message, especially if you're not used to performing. But, you know, every now and then I skip one that I think was had a rude tude. So if you don't have a rude tude, then kudos to you, and I probably will put you on a future episode. All right, guys. As I said at the top of the episode, if you love It's Always Halloween, please, please help us stay ad-free, independent, and sustainable by becoming a podcast patron. Visit patreon.com/itsalwayshalloween to pick your level of monthly or annual support. Makes a huge difference, keeps our lights on, keeps us feeling spooky. And hey, if you want to just do a one-time contribution, you can sponsor an episode for yourself, your business, or a loved one. Just send us $30 using our tip jar. You can find those links in our show notes, along with links to the Lantern's Way zine from Displaced Snail, filled with your stories and recipes and pictures and memories. You can also snag It's Always Halloween merch from Redbubble. We've recently made some t-shirt sales over there. I can't see who orders what on the Redbubble platform, but they do let me know what products sell. So thank you if you've picked up some merch there. The biggest thing that's so cool is just knowing you guys are out there with the logo art and you're spreading the word in a fashionable and fun way. So thank you for repping us. All the links you need are in the show notes, guys, so just click on the episode to find all of that. This episode of It's Always Halloween was hosted by me, Luce Tomlin-Brenner, with help from your fellow lanterns, David, Cassandra, Tom, Ryan, Chris, Jack. Thank you guys for your contributions in making this episode extra special. My co-producer, Pete Burns, handles the editing, and he created our incredible theme song. Thanks, Pete. Truly, what would I do without you? Make sure to give a listen to his new album, Her April, which you can find on Spotify under his initials, PB, for Pete Burns. You can follow the show on Instagram at It's Always Halloween Podcast. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at LTB Comedy. And you can follow Pete at Mittenberries. If you're on Apple Podcasts, please subscribe and write us a nice little review so that other like-minded ghouls can find us. We need some fresh 2023 reviews to dance on the grave of 2022. Our last review was in November, so please take a minute to write a couple of kind words. We're also on the NPR One app, so subscribe to us there and tell Ira Glass that you love us. Thanks so much for listening to yet another episode of It's Always Halloween. And please come back next time, unless you roll a one in your D&D game. Okay, I looked up D&D rolls and what were bad and what were good, and I got so confused, so I don't know if that reference is apt. You don't have to tell me if it is or not. Maybe if you don't think it's funny or good, it's totally okay.